Now, this month, the theme has been, you know, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. And I thought that, you know, the best thing for us as women to talk about is just true friendship. I know in the world, you know, even for us, we call it a best friend or maybe having a best friend. But I wanted to redescribe that and call it, you know, true friendships, okay? Because I think, you know, when it's real and when it's true, then you know. And I think too, you know, we have different kinds of friends. And I think sometimes to say, okay, this one is the best of all of these other ones, I'm just not sure that that's quite, you know, I don't know, an accurate definition, because, you know, people are all very different, and you can have one friend that meets a certain need, and then you can have another one that has been there for you in a different way, and we can have several best friends as well, isn't it? So I want us to talk about that tonight, but before we go on, I just wanted to put it out there and just ask a question. How many of us feel like we have, I'll say, at least a true friend? Someone that you feel, you know, you connect with. Yeah, you may have called it best friend, you know, but how many of us feel that way? That you really, truly have a true friend in your life? Okay? All right. And now I'm going to ask my next question. What's the description of that? What's the definition of a true friend? How would you describe them? Can I just, to have more responses and just to save on time, can I ask us to give one word answers? Let's try that, okay? Yes, Barbara. Enduring. Real. Loyal. Trustworthy. Devoted. Honest. What did you say, Shakara? Okay. All right. Awesome. Somebody said something here. Oh, was it honest? Okay. All right. Kathy? Understanding? Mm-hmm. Non-judgmental? Unbiased? Jude? Someone that prays for her? Uh-huh. Non-judgmental. I believe somebody said that as well. Yes. Someone you can be yourself with. Inspirational. Open. Safe. How do we feel about that? You like that one, huh? Yes, Becky. Someone who listens. Uh-huh. Anyone else? Loving, fun. I like that one. Okay. Someone who loves you where you're at. Compassionate. Precious. Oh, I like that one. Precious. Precious. Yeah. All right. I just want to go through a couple of scriptures that talk about friendship. And I've come up with my own extraction of what I see from these particular scriptures. Let's hope I can see this. Okay? So a man of many companions will come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So sticks closer. I know some of us don't like people being sticky, okay? Yeah? But this is someone that will stick there. You know, there are times I know that we don't want that anyone to be around us, but this person knows just how to be there, even though you don't think you need anybody, okay? Job 6:14, a despairing man should have the devotion of his friends, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. Wow. So right here I see devotion. Job 16:21, on behalf of a man, he pleads with God as a man pleads for his friend. Wow. Pleads for you. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So when I think of cautious, I think of someone that shows wisdom. Yeah? Someone that's careful. That's someone that doesn't take you for granted. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Loves at all times. All. Okay? Proverbs 27:6 and then 9. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Right here I see honesty, sincerity, correcting you out of love. And then verse 9, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his honest counsel. Pleasant. You know, someone that's just pleasant. Proverbs 22:11. He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. Pure-hearted, gracious. Job 42:10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. So a friend prays for you. 1 John 4:11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So a friend loves you, adores you, yeah? When I think of God, I just think of how much he adores us. You know, the same book talks about how God lavishes us. You know, he's lavished his love on us. And God calls us to actually love each other the way that he loves us. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. So you're a delight to your friend. It's not about competition. It's not about, oh, her life is better than mine. No, even when things are going great, even when you're shining to them, you're their crown. You're their joy. All that achievement becomes their joy, becomes their achievement. Hebrews 6:9. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. A true friend is confident in you. They don't second guess you. Yeah? They don't think the worst of you. They think only the best of you and for you. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Right here you see trust. God felt the trust that Abraham had in him. So a true friend, you know, trusts you. Yeah, they trust you as their friend. Job 2:11. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard all about the troubles that had come upon him, they set out for their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. In hard times, your friends will sympathize with you. Your true friend will sympathize with you. They will comfort you. Now, I know Job's friends said a little bit too much that they should have been saying. Sometimes all we need is just somebody to just come sit there with us, you know, and maybe say absolutely nothing and we're fine, but just their presence, to know that they're with us, that they're mourning, they're feeling for us and with us, is what we need at such times. 1 Samuel 18:3. I love this one. Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. You know, a true friend will ask you to make a pact. Yeah, they will not hold back. Someone that's seeking that kind of a friendship, they will ask you, let's make a pact. Let's promise that we're going to be best friends. And I think that way we communicate our intentions, isn't it? I think a lot of times we leave it to chance, if there's anything like that. You know, and we're just sort of hoping that this person becomes your friend. But maybe they don't even know that you want to be a friend. You know, but right here you see Jonathan and David making a pact, making an agreement. Let's be friends. Let's be true friends. Okay, so it doesn't just happen. 1 Samuel 23:16, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. You know, a true friend will help you find strength in God. They will direct you towards God. Not towards yourself, not towards them, but towards God. 1 Samuel 20:42. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is witness between your descendants and my descendants forever." Then Jonathan left and went back to the town. And so again, you see them swearing friendship. You see them agreeing. Have you been in a position where you thought somebody was your best friend, but they didn't think so? They didn't think you were their best friend? Have you been there before? Hi. Has anybody been there? Where you said, "Oh, so-and-so is my best friend." But they never said, "You're their best friend." Or somebody said, "She's my best friend." And you're standing there thinking, I don't know what to say, yeah? Yeah, because you know that it's actually not that way. So a true friend is someone that you actually know. This is a true friend. This is my friend. And they know the same thing. You're both in agreement. You both agreed. Okay? Can two walk along together without them agreeing? Even in the Bible. Okay? And so tonight, though, because of time, I just want us to focus on one quality. And I'd like us to read Proverbs 19:22, three scriptures actually. Proverbs 19:22. The Bible says, "What a man desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar." Okay? So what we all actually desire at the end of the day is what? Is unfailing love. We all just want to know that in a relationship, we are loved. Okay? Proverbs 26:6. This is one of my most favorite scriptures when it comes to friendships. Proverbs 20:6. Okay. "Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find?" Okay? Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? And then Proverbs 18:24, "A man of many companions will come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." You know, a time came for me in my many years of having been a disciple. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I think I do have a lot of, you know, companions. I do have a lot of friends. But do I really have true friendships? Do I really have real relationships? And you know, I think the kingdom of God is amazing. Now, if you don't believe it, I believe that there is no place on earth where you can find the kinds of relationships that we have with each other. I have talked to a lot of women the years that I've been disciples. I've seen many things. I've seen a lot of organizations. But I have never heard of or known something like what we have. You know, in God's kingdom, we are nice. I think that's the best way I can describe it. Isn't it? We are not threatening. Okay? We are kind. You know, I had a friend who came for the International Sunday. We call it the African Sunday back at home, but the International Sunday. And she could not believe it. She couldn't believe that this was actually a church. The kinds of friends, the relationships, the way we were interacting with each other. She had never seen in her life anything like that. She had never seen. And so what we have is actually precious. But what I also think is whenever we have things like this in our lives, I think often enough we take them for granted. And we just sort of think that then it's just going to, you know, sort of fall into, everything is going to fall into place. Everything is all just going to work itself out. And yet we know how untrue that is. Because even us being here did not just work itself out. We had to have a desire. We had to pray. We probably had to fast. As we studied the Bible, we battled with scripture. We met with people. We went and we had those times where we were shown God's word. We had to do our part. Now, God does the bigger part, but we had to do our part for us to have even what we have. And then on a daily basis, we have to constantly work on our hearts because at the end of the day, our hearts are deceitful, isn't it? So we have to stay in the word. We have to stay in prayer. We have to work at being righteous. So it doesn't just happen. So nothing actually just happens. Now, have you heard of people say there's no love in the church? Have you heard people say that? Have you said it? Probably at some point. There's no love in the church. Have you heard that statement? Somewhere maybe? Okay. And I think when we get to that point is because we're sort of just expecting everything to just all work itself out. And you know, when I think of relationships are hard to build and it takes time. It's like building a building. Okay, don't just wake up one day and, you know, voila, here is my building. No, you have to do some really hard job. And especially a job, a building that's going to last a long time, you have to really put in the effort. You have to use costly material, isn't it, to put that building together. And so it's the same thing. Relationships are built, isn't it? They are built. You put one stone on top of the other, okay, over and over. I know here, I don't know how houses are built here, but I know in Africa, let me tell you, it's a lot of work, but we do it. And houses are made of real stone. I'm sure there's houses like that. My husband has spotted several. And he's like, I need to drive you down and show you this house that's just made out of stone. And you know what they have to do in Africa? They have, you know, masons. They have these men who their job is to go out into the, we call them the quarries. I don't know if that makes sense. They have to go to the quarry and to chisel out, you know, the stone. Now, these days they have, you know, a more developed way of doing it. So they have machines that will go and cut out, you know, so the houses look more like neatly cut out. But people don't want that. They want the one that looks more like rugged. I think it's more artsy, if you ask me. But imagine these men sitting there chiseling stone by stone by stone. And that's how, like, most of the buildings are done. Okay? And then, of course, they dig the foundation and then have to put one stone, put cement, put the next stone like that, line after line. So it takes days, you know, to put this building together. Okay? So it's a lot of work. And then even after they're done, they still have to come out and like sort of smoothen and then polish the stone, you know, after the houses, just to make it look even more beautiful. So it takes a long time to put this beautiful, strong building that's going to last many, many years. Nothing can just, you know, sway it or bring it crashing down. You know, it takes time. And so it's the same thing, sisters. And you know, what I realized is that, yes, I used to say I have lots of friends. Okay? Like this scripture in Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions will come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, that time that's very difficult and challenging in your life will come for each one of us. I think it has already come for a lot of us. More times like that may come. I don't know. God is always working. He's always working on us. He's always And also it's just the way of life, isn't it? And so those kinds of time may continue to come. But the thing is, when those kinds of times come, that's when our true friendships are revealed. That's when you actually find, did I actually have a friend or did I not? And I'm telling you, I came to this time just a few years ago. And at that point, I think I've said this to either to some of you or right here, how difficult that time was, I literally just wanted to die. I wasn't joking. I wasn't just wishing it. From the bottom of my heart, I wanted God to take me away. Now, because I'm a Christian, I knew that I cannot take my life. And I wasn't going to do that. And I was also not going to lose my salvation. Those are the two things I knew. But I also knew that I wanted to die. And I'm telling you, the pain was so heavy. For days, I felt like somebody had taken a slab and just put it right here, across my chest. And I couldn't move. It was so intense. You know, in fact, we have pictures. You know, Steve was going through this. We're going through this together. And so, anyway, we went away. We needed to just be somewhere where we could pray. And we went with our kids. And it's funny, we took each other pictures, or the kids took pictures or whatever. But if you see those pictures, you can actually just see tears. Day after day, just tears hanging right there in our eyes. Our eyes were red. I don't know if we were crying every day. I mean, it was just really intense. It was such an intense time. Now, it was also a time where I couldn't talk to many people on a deep level. I was in this place where I needed to even figure out what was going on and what I was feeling. Okay? But I will tell you one thing. At that time, my true friends actually surfaced to the top. Okay? Those that were my true friends surfaced to the top. But you know, it also just made me really think about how I had been building my relationships. Because one of the things that I tend to do, and I feel like I've been doing that since I came here, so I need your help. I know Cheryl has told me, you know, you sound like you're becoming like us. Please stop. You know, we need you to help us to slow down, you know? But I have felt like I'm moving, I don't know how many miles per hour every day, you know, to the point where I'm like, okay, I know one of the most important things that I really need is to build great, deep relationships. And yet I feel like I'm everywhere, you know, and I love all of you. You're awesome. I would love to just spend every day with every single one of you, you know? But what that can do, if you're that kind of a person that wants to spend time with everybody every single day, then this is what happens, isn't it? Is one day comes and you find that you actually don't have a friend because you are here a little bit, and then over here a little bit, you can't even follow through with what you started over here, then you're over here, and then you're over there, you know, and that way you're not quite deepening. And I know even as I talk about these sisters, you know, what we're talking about here is not about being popular. It's not about being liked. And you know what? That's one of my sinful natures. I do like being liked. I don't know who doesn't like being liked, but I know some of us like it more than others, you know. But this is not about being popular. It's about God trying to do something special in all of us. It's about the body being healthy. You know, this finger is not being pulled in all parts to connect to every part of the body. No, this finger is connected to just the hand right there. And it's enough for that finger to be right there. And so even as I talk about these sisters, I don't want us to feel the pressure. I don't want us to feel like, okay, then I need, you know? No. I think what God really wants us to do is to pray and to ask him, show me, who can I actually get to build some really deep, true friendship with in a way that I know for sure. Okay? I know that I have a true friend. Okay? I know that I have a true friend. Now, a conversation needs to then be had. You need to have that conversation where let's do it and let's make the time, because it won't just happen. Are we together, sisters? it won't just happen. And so when I think of the quality being described in these three scriptures, Proverbs 19:22, Proverbs 26, Proverbs 18:24, is what? Is unfailing love. It's faithfulness. Okay? It's not just what we say, but it's our actions. It's the consistency. It's the constancy in being in there with this person. Okay? It's the devotion. It's where we stick in there with this person. It's loving the person even when they are unlovable. If you commit yourself to, this is going to be the woman that I build a true relationship with, then what you're actually saying is, I'm going to stick with her, even, my goodness, when she stinks. Because I'm telling you, some days I've been like that. I'm not going to repeat it, okay? I have been like that. And I needed someone that was willing to be right there, even when I wasn't being my best. Is that person that will be there when you're being your good, your bad, and your ugly. Okay, flat out ugly. Okay, and they're not judging you, they're not condemning you, they're not telling you, you know what, you're taking my time. Or where you don't feel, and you know what, sisters, one of the things I really believe in when it comes to relationships is the instinct. You know, that's something, in fact, they say what, that's the sixth sense that God gave to us as women, isn't it? Is that instinct. It's where you can just look and feel, oh, Jennifer, the way she looked at me today, I wonder if things are okay, you know? If you have a friend, you can tell when there's something in there, isn't it? When things are not just in place, you feel, oh, I think she's avoiding me. I think there's something. But it needs to be the kind of a friendship where you can walk up and say, you know what, I feel like you're avoiding me. Is yes, did I do something? Did I say something? And when you're at home, and where you're okay. And if she says, actually, yes, you don't get offended. You can actually say, you know what, can we talk about it? Or what did I do? You know, let's talk. Is where there's that. And I know somebody said, you know what, it's someone that you can be totally yourself with. For me, that is so key. Because you know what, in my whole life, I was never good at this. I was never good at just being myself. You know, I grew up just constantly trying to please everybody around me, okay? And so, and you know, as you grow older, and you know, you get to that 40s, almost like you now can see, you know? And I remember feeling like, you know what, I'm actually tired. I'm tired of trying to please everybody. And at the same time, trying to please God, does that even work? It doesn't, isn't it? It's just, it's so tiring. And I got to that point, and I felt like, you know what, Lord, just help me find, you know, relationships where I can just be myself. I can just be me, and I'll still feel loved, and I'll still feel, you know, truly accepted. You know, this is a kind of a relationship, you know. I do need glasses, and I don't know how to wear them. I actually have a pair at home, but I don't know how to do these, and then, you know, forgive me, sisters. I can see from here very well, okay? That may work, you know. And so, you know, it's the kind of a friend that, you know, when we go through pain, you know, there's a time where you go through incredible pain. In fact, there's a book called Exquisite Agony. I don't know if you've ever been through that, but a time may come. You know, this little book talks about how God selects a few people to go through this exquisite agony. That's scary. Okay? So when you go through that, when you go through loss, things like loss, you know, this person will be there. And they will know what to say or what not to say. Now, even if they say the wrong thing, okay, even if they don't say the right thing, you can speak up. I know I was in that point, and my friend sometimes would say things to me. Now, they were the right things, but she was saying them at the wrong time. And let me tell you, I'd be like, you know what, don't even say that. Not now. And you know what she would do? She wouldn't try to disciple me and tell me I'm being proud and, you know, because she understood my pain. she would say, you know, oops, I'm sorry. I'm really, in fact, she would like almost be begging me, like, I'm really sorry. Are you? And then I'd be like, oh, no, actually, you are right, you know? You are actually right, you know? And sometimes we need that. We need, at certain times, I'm not saying it all the time, okay? But, so these friendship sisters, I think they're made in heaven. That's just my conviction. Because when we look at even some of the relationships that we see deep, true friendships in the Bible, David and Jonathan, Ruth and Naomi, yeah, Mary and Elizabeth, any other examples that we have? Do we have any others? I'm sure there's more, okay? But these kinds, Jesus and his three disciples, yeah, right there. Now, they deserted him. Now, we don't want to do that as true friends, okay? But even if we do, as a mature friend, you will know and you remember that, by the way, these people are human at the end of the day, okay? But these kinds of relationships, when you see them, there was a purpose that God had in putting them together. There was a purpose. And I mean, all these people are in the lineage of Jesus. And I believe for us to follow through in that lineage, we say lineage here? Lineage, okay. Lineage of Jesus, and finally make it to heaven to be with him, we will need these kinds of relationship sisters. And so they will be made in heaven. So we have to ask God. And I'm not saying that we already don't. You probably have this kind of a relationship. You probably have this kind of a friend. But if you don't, it's okay. Okay? But you can ask God. You can ask God to just help you find this kind of a friend. And you can also ask to be this kind of a friend to someone. Actually, I think that's the secret of finding a true friend. Is you first and foremost. So as we go home, I don't want us to be feeling sad and having pity parties and saying, poor me, I don't have a friend like this. I've been a disciple for 40 years, but I've never had a friend like this. No, that's not the point. The point is for us to look at ourselves and to say, you know what, how can I be this way to someone? And let me tell you, as I say that, I am thoroughly challenged because I feel weak. I feel like I don't know if I can. Now, I know I can with God, isn't it? I can, and we will, sisters. But it can only be done with the help of God. Being this way can only be done with the help of God through the Holy Spirit to prompt us, through walking with God, to know exactly what to say and at what time, to know how to be there, you know, for someone, the way that they need us to be there for them. Amen? You know, this person is someone that you know will be there for you. They will be there for you in an instant. This is a someone that you can completely be yourself. I know someone said that. I think it was Roxanne. That you can be completely yourself with this person. My goodness, you don't have to pretend. Okay? Now, I think this is where we can have top discipling. Isn't it? It's when we can be completely ourselves. I think where we come and we pretend and we feel like we have to act a certain way, I don't think we can even help each other grow. I don't think that's possible. So this is so important, where we can be ourselves. I'm not saying that we become sinners and we don't practice restraint. That's not what I'm encouraging. No. What I'm saying is we can be ourselves. We can be real. We can be honest. Okay? We don't have to feel like we have to act in a certain way in order to be loved or in order to be accepted. You know, John 15:13 and 15 says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. This is a very high calling right here. You know, Jesus could have just called the disciples his servants because he was a king. He was God himself. These were his subjects. He made them. Okay? And you could have just expected that of them. But Jesus did not do that. He actually told them, you know what? I'm no longer going to call you servants. Now I'm going to call you friends. You know? And I love that. I think Jesus was saying, you know what? We can relate. I want to relate with you. I want to connect with you in a special way. I don't want anything to come in between us. And you know, Jesus, the whole reason why Jesus came on earth was so that we could be able to have an example. Was so that we could be able to see God in flesh. Was so that we could have someone to imitate. And so Jesus is actually calling us to be this way with each other. And I think that's why God put us together in his body. That's why God, you know, just orchestrated for us to be seated right here. And to be, wow, his chosen ones. Was so that we could be able to emulate what Jesus did for us when he came down on us, when he died on the cross, when, my goodness, he knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. I think that was one of the most humbling things that he ever did. But basically, he was telling them, you know what? I am willing to do anything and everything for you. And he showed that by dying on the cross. Jesus will do anything for us. And that's a true friend. A true friend is one that can do and be there for you in whatever way you may need them to be there. Now, I'll put a disclaimer. Let's not forget they're human. Let's not forget that. And this is where first we must be anchored in our number one friendship with God. Okay? That's the only one. The only one that will never fail us. You know, when I went through that time, that very difficult time, I still remember thinking, oh, you know what? The most important is my husband and my children. That's how I felt at that moment. I felt like there was no one else there at that point. Now, that wasn't actually true, but I think God wanted me to get to that level and to that moment right there. Because I still remember just, it was almost like a visual. And I remember realizing, you know what? My husband and my two kids could actually drive out of this house right now and they don't come back. And they're actually gone. They're dead. Okay? So the only person I knew that I had at all times and at any time and in any way I needed was who? Was God. And I think, sisters, if we are anchored then, I think God will just allow us to go through challenges. Sometimes God will reveal to you so that first we can make God the most important. Because if we actually try to build these kinds of relationships and friendships without God first as the foundation, it's not going to work. That's why relationships in the world do not work. They don't, you know, they don't work. You know, marriages in the world don't work. Most of them. Hi. Am I coming from a different world? Because that's not, God is the author of relationships. He's the author of marriage. He created Adam and Eve right there in the Garden of Eden. Even for us who are disciples, we know when we're not living according to the scriptures. We know it's not working, isn't it? We know. We can pretend all we want. We can come to church holding hands and smiling and then we get in that car. And the feelings, the reality all comes back, isn't it? Without God and without his word, sisters. And so, if we don't make God the foundation consistently, even with our friendships, going back to the scriptures and asking ourselves, how is God needing me to be as a friend? And allowing God to challenge us. And allowing God to get us out of our comfort zone. I know for me, I see, you know, from going through pain, I'll be honest with you, one of the things that I developed was just some walls to protect myself. I was tempted to feel, even without knowing, that you know what, I'm not going to allow myself to be hurt like that anymore. And there's something that can do, and we can end up hiding from love, sisters. We can end up hiding from great, deep, true relationships. So pray for me as you pray for yourself. Let's pray for each other, sisters, to overcome. And I pray that as we do the Save People book, that God will use that book to help us to heal. Let's not be afraid of, of feeling pain and feeling drained as we talk about our past, as we talk about our relationships. You know, healing doesn't happen without pain. If you realize you have some tumor somewhere, the only way you're going to have to heal is to have a knife go through you, isn't it? And for them to remove that tumor, and then you can heal. And they're going to have to do some stitching and all that. And so it's the same thing with healing from emotional pain, from just those kinds of situations that we've been through in our lives. We have to allow God to help us, and we have to pull in God so that he can heal us the way that he wants to. So Jesus set us an example. So we have a chance to show the world how to love the way he loved us. But we also have a chance right here, sisters, to love each other the way that Jesus loved us. Amen? You know, so God blessed me. I don't think I have time to share about my friend. You know, actually my time is over. But all the things I've described, this woman has been those things. And let me tell you, the first time I met her, you know what I was thinking in my up here? I was thinking somebody needs to disciple this woman. There's something wrong with her. She's too loud. She's too this. And let me tell you, God has constantly discipled me not to judge a book by its cover. You know, we look at the outward. That's why sometimes we don't have true friendships. Because we're looking at the outward and we're thinking, oh, she can never be my friend. Try. Give it a chance. God looks at the heart. As you try, as you give of yourself, the heart is going to start coming out. God is going to start revealing this person to you. This person that he will have chosen for you. Okay? So, but there's more, you know, that will be shared another time. But let me just read you a few quotes. Okay? A friend is one that knows you as you are, understands where you have been, accepts what you have become, and still gently allows you to grow. That's Shakespeare. Another one, the great thing about new friends is that they bring new energy into your soul. I want to encourage those who have moved here recently from other parts. I know there's a number of us. I put myself in that statistic, okay? There's a number of us, and it can be hard to adjust. It can be so difficult. Because you know what, we get comfortable when we settle into one place, we know everything, we know everybody, and then when God moves us to another place, it can be very challenging. But the Bible, I mean this quote, not the Bible, I'm sure there's a scripture in the Bible, but it talks about how new friends bring new energy into your soul. I love that. And then friendship isn't about whom you've known the longest, it's about who walked into your life and said, I'm here for you, and proved it. And then two, wishing to be friends is quick work, but friendship is slow ripening fruit. Okay? Sometimes you expect it to just work instantly. Don't we like instant things? Effortless, yeah? But no, friendship is a slow ripening fruit. So two things that I just want us to think about as we go home. Do you have a true friend? And if not, it's never too late. You know, but ask yourself, could it be that you've not been vulnerable enough to let people to see who you really are? True friendships cannot happen when there's a wall right here. When you come and show people who you're not, it's not going to work. So let yourself free. Let yourself go. That way, in fact, if you're too vulnerable and you come across scary and people get scared, it's okay. You probably need that. Okay? Because if someone is not going to accept you for who you are, then no. Then no. I don't think then that's a true friend. Don't you think so? And then two, have you expected it just to happen? When the truth is, we reap what we sow, isn't it? We put in, whatever we put in is what we're going to be reaping. I can't expect to have a friend, but I've not been a friend myself. That would be wrong of me, okay? Have you had too many companions and not invested on a few deep friendships? You know, even Jesus had just a few. He had three, isn't it? Job had three. The ones that came, there were three of them. Okay? Have you been selfish? Where it's been all about you and never about the other person. If this happens, then it's hard to build friendships. Have you lacked spiritual discernment when it comes to finding true friendship? Okay? And then the other thing I want us to think about is who have you been a true friend to? So let's go back and look at all those definitions, all those scriptures, and ask yourself, which one person have I been all these things to? Okay? And if you don't find anyone, then decide that you're going to recommit yourself, maybe to some already existing friendships. You're going to recommit yourself and renew just your heart of giving and serving and just being all the things we've looked at to that or to those particular people. And then how will you change your perspective and decide to be a faithful woman? Remember that scripture, Proverbs 26, but a faithful man who can find. Many a man may claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful woman who can find. Please be that faithful woman. And so let's put in the work, sisters. Let's pray for God to reveal the truth about where we stand. You know, God wants us to be deeply close from the heart, so that we can be truly connected with each other in a way that will last forever and we'll end up in heaven together. And then I have a funny quote to leave you laughing. You know, we'll be friends till we are old and senile, then we'll be new friends. Okay?